The Naked Love Podcast with Theo Manderson
and Kaffee, aka A Cup of Kaffee.
Hello, hello, and welcome to season 2 of the Naked Love Podcast by Premier Gospel. Yes, season 2. We have missed you guys
so much. And we are back, Kaffee.
Whoop, whoop. Yes, we are.
And you've been busy. Between season 1 and 2, somebody busy. So now yes, I can't call you AKA Cup of Kaffee. I have to call you AKA Mummy.
You know, Mama Kaffee.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Theo. And for those who don't know, yes, I have just had a beautiful, beautiful baby boy. God bless him. He's amazing. He's just motherhood. I just love it. I love it. I love him. I love it. It's just, honestly, it's such an privilege. It's such a privilege, and I'm so, so grateful. So, you know, season 1 did start with a bang, and we were tackling all the subjects that we may be thinking about but that the church are not talking about as much. Things like lust, sex toys, black love, and intimacy. And you can still go back and listen to season 1 in its entirety.
But season 2, we're taking it up to the next level. Another level.
Yes.
So we're still keeping it raw and honest, but we're bringing in a special guest. We're going to have some special guests each and every week to join in the conversations, from chastity to looking for 6 spouses to having your marriage in the public eye. And remember, if you're thinking about it, we are definitely talking about it.
And as usual, Auntie Kaffee and Uncle Theo will be answering all your dilemmas towards the end of the podcast too. And we have a shiny new email address. It is nakedlovepodcast@premier.org.uk.
Okay. That's good.
So do get in touch with all of your relationship dilemmas. And of course, we can keep the questions anonymous.
Yes, we can. And it's one last thing we can't forget.
We can't forget it. This is my favorite part of the podcast.
We go into acting mode.
NL Street is about Jade and Jason, and they are characters that live on NL Street, Naked Love Street. And we always find out every week something new that's happening in their lives, and we find out what they're up to.
Yes, we do. And what we discuss in NL Street kind of leads us in to what we're going to be discussing, the topic we're going to be kind of focusing on throughout the rest of the podcast.
Exactly.
Let's see. Let's unwrap what's happening. Let's get down to NL Street.
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
This week on NL Street.
Jade, can you come here, please?
Hey, what's up?
My brother just called me. Amma has had a miscarriage.
What? When? Oh my gosh, that is so sad.
Yeah, he actually sounded a bit cut up about it as well.
How far along were they again?
Not too sure, you know, but it was quite early, so it's not too bad.
Jace, you can't say that. That was still their baby, no matter how many weeks or months.
Yeah, I know, but I just mean that it's not as bad as it's going halfway or all the way. You know what I mean?
That's not the point, Jason. God brought life through them. They had plans and dreams for their child. We should go and see them.
I don't know, you know. It's probably best to just give them some space. I doubt it's something they want to talk about, you know. Look, before you know it, I'm sure she'll be pregnant again. They've got plenty of time. They're young.
Yeah, I guess so. What did your mum say?
Not much, you know. Well, the older generation can be like, brush it under the carpet and pretend it didn't happen.
Gosh, look at the time. We're going to be late for the party. Are we still going to pick up your brother? Are they still coming?
Let me call and ask them.
Yeah, I don't even know if I feel like going, to be honest. But yeah, let's just go. Let's go.
Yeah, let's just go. Might change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
More from NL Street next week.
Really big topic today. It is
Baby loss awareness this week. So we wanted to talk openly about baby loss and the effect that it has on the parents and the individuals and their relationship, plus the response of the family and wider community, and also the ignorance surrounding it. There is a bit of a taboo. I mean, miscarriage is actually super, super common. Like, it's very, very common. It happens to a lot of people, and it's got nothing to do with whether your body is strong, whether this or that. You know, some people just have miscarriages, yeah, and then they go on and have perfectly normal pregnancies to full term. You know, there's a lot of taboo about it, and you know, sadly, the risk of miscarriage for Black women is 43% higher than 43. For white women. Do you know what I mean? And I wonder, is it because we're more prone to certain health problems? Or, you know, things like type 2 diabetes. I had type diabetes in pregnancy.
Oh, did you?
Which can actually increase the risk of miscarriage.
So you wasn't diabetic before?
Nope, I wasn't diabetic at all. But I had what's called gestational diabetes, which only shows up whilst you're pregnant.
Oh.
So it's very interesting. You know, so it could be that, or is it that there's structural racism at play? Maybe there's a lack of research and, you know, less assistance.
Wow, a Black woman are more likely to suffer baby loss, but yet we're probably more likely to never speak out about it. And why do you think that is? Why don't we speak out?
I just think,
considering there's such a high percentage of Black women having miscarriages. Or
I think that There's a lot to it. I think, you know, again, the taboo, the insensitivity surrounding it. So again, you know, even like Jason and NLC, oh, that's all right. They'll just have another baby.
And the older generation brush under the carpet.
Yeah, so it's still a loss. It's still a bereavement. And I think people need to respect that. It's still, you know, the worst is sometimes those are even the worst kind of bereavements, those unfulfilled dreams, those unfulfilled expectations.
And there's nothing
you
can actually do anything about it.
No.
Do you think that is because we're like insensitive, or the shame? Some people feel embarrassed, like maybe it's something, because I know in some of the Caribbean, oh, you know, she did go out party and that was the reason why. People would start to try and pinpoint as to why somebody had a miscarriage. Like,
or that she's not a good person, she's not good, or he's not a good person.
Yeah, all these stuff that they will come up with. Oh, yeah, me did see her drinking and she know drinking isn't good, or, you know,
sad.
It's all kind of stuff. She wasn't drinking her roots, so she's not strong.
Or what you weren't doing.
What you weren't doing and stuff like that. Maybe
or
she
what
did,
you were doing.
Yeah. Oh, see, I had to tell her not to go to work and all these different things.
And like, this is the thing. I feel like nobody needs that. When you're going through a loss, especially a miscarriage, you don't need to hear any of that.
You don't need to hear any of that.
It's not helpful, you know, saying, oh, maybe it was because you did this. Or that's not what anybody needs at that particular time. Do you know what I mean? They just need a listening voice, someone to be there for them. And I mean, even I think that's why a lot of people sometimes they don't even share their pregnancies, because of all these superstitions these fears. Not, I won't say superstitions, but, you know, these fears that we have, these fears that we have, because you just feel like, oh, maybe someone's going to wish something bad upon your baby, or someone's going to do this, someone's going to do that. I wanted to share my pregnancy.
Yeah.
But then the more pregnant I got, I just had this huge urge to protect my child. Yeah. And so I was just like, I just want to protect.
You became a mama hen.
I just want to protect. And I just, you know, I want to keep him not a secret, but
it's my baby. It's my baby.
Him whatever way I could. Yeah. So that's what I did. Yeah, I think, you know, it's very interesting. I think we should just try and be careful with the way we handle it and the way we speak about it. You know, loss is loss. So we should definitely handle it that
way. You see, in churches, I don't, like, we just bring it to church. It's not something that, in my time of being in church, from when I was younger to older, it's not something I've actually ever heard mentioned or discussed or any of it. I'm saying there must have been miscarriages
that's happened in
church, and people are suffering in silence, you know, because it happens at different stages, isn't it? It could be at the start of the pregnancy, at the end, in the middle. So
it could happen at any time.
So I suppose sometimes you don't see them pregnant, then they just had the miscarriage, but you wouldn't know, and they just don't go to church for a few months, and then they come back in. And
that's the thing, and I think that's why we need to talk about it. And thankfully, you know, today we have a guest.
Yes, we do have a guest.
The Naked Love Podcast.
To help us discuss this very important and sensitive topic, we have invited onto the Naked Love Podcast our very, very first guest. In 2019, their baby girl Noah died in the womb. We have knowing that such a tragedy does just affect the mother, but it also affects the father. And their relationship, their experience is well documented in their blog, After Lifeless Birth. We have Zainab and Junior Amohe here with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Welcome.
You're welcome. You are
so welcome. So just to begin, take us back to 2018, early 2019. And I know, you know, from your blog that this was your first pregnancy, right?
Yeah.
How were you feeling? Were you excited, nervous? Had you longed to become a mom? And Junior, had you longed to become a dad?
I think for me, I was excited, but yeah, nervous. I mean, I was... I guess, you know, we were newly married, so everything's new, everything is exciting, but
yeah.
It's just always been us. So we were kind of thinking, gosh, like our whole lives are going to change in an instant. So yeah, I mean, definitely excited, but nervous as well.
Yeah, likewise, likewise. I think it was just knowing if you're prepared enough. And I guess we told ourselves that, look, I don't think we were ever prepared to be married, and what do we think we can ever be, you know, 100% before we have a child. And I think, yeah, we wanted to trust in God and just, yeah, hope that he would take care of us as much as we're trying to take care of our child.
Yeah, that's the best way to think, isn't it?
What happened? How did you find out? Was it just you woke up one day and there was no movement, or how many months pregnant were you at the time?
I was 23 weeks pregnant.
Can you put that in my terms, please? Months.
Oh. So that's just over 5 months.
So fully into the pregnancy.
Yeah. So it was really difficult because, you know, everyone says in medical terms, I guess, get to the 3 months of pregnancy and you're it's plain sailing from there. And that was just not the case for us. So it was 5 months in. We had just had our gender scan, so you know,
the gender reveal.
Yeah,
did you pop the balloon and all that stuff?
We did. We had it all. Yeah, we he's forgotten, but now you remember. We had a big sort of celebration with the whole church and, you know, popped the balloon. And then I remember literally that week being told we had to have another appointment. And then I was like, you know, is everything okay? And the doctors were saying, we just need to check. That baby's okay because we've seen some anomalies with the scan. So it was, I guess, not a routine appointment, but an emergency appointment at that point. And I had asked Junior to take off the day of work and my younger sister as well to kind of be with me. Not because I thought the worst would happen, but just
because... He was a bit nervous.
Yeah.
And I know, Junior, the blog says that, you know, you knew something wasn't right. What was that feeling, or, you know?
Yeah, what made you think it was just, they had told us the week before that, you know, everything doesn't seem okay, but we didn't know what it was. And I think I've known Zainab to know when the baby is moving, and I think that evening we had prayer meeting, and someone asked, "Oh, how's the baby? You know, is it moving much?" And then she said, "Oh, I think so."
Oh,
you know, and in my head I was just thinking that, you know, the doctor just told us this, and then, you know, Zainab, I'm not too sure because, you know, if a baby is moving, I'm sure she would know, and she always knew. And I think, yeah, from that moment, just like, oh, gosh, please. You know, I was, I was just panicky, but I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah,
you know, that might upset Zainab and, you know, make her, you know, to start worrying and stuff like that. And then,
So then what happened next? How did you find out?
So that was on a Thursday, and we had an appointment the following day, I think.
We went back for an appointment on the Friday, and literally walked into the scan room, and it was so hard because the doctor turned on the machine, looked at it, and just turned it off straight away.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really difficult. And it was just, it's crazy because you don't think that a scan is a photograph, or not even a photograph, it's like a living image of your child. And I think now for both of us, what's stuck in our memories is just that picture of our child just not moving. So, you know, and she just said, "I'm so sorry." And, you know, we all just kind of burst into tears. And yeah, it's like time stopped, really. Yes. Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
And then you still had to go through and have the full... So how many weeks or days after you found out did you have to then deliver the child, deliver Noah?
Literally in 2 days. So
2 days later.
Yeah, so it all happened really quickly, you know.
So you're still processing everything, and it's like, oh, you got to go and deliver the baby and all that. That's a lot.
I think that's a lot of people don't know that. If a baby dies in the womb, you still have to give birth.
Yeah.
The baby just doesn't come. You have to give birth to it.
Yeah. Still go through the whole process and everything.
How was that experience? And could anything have even prepared you for that?
I don't think anything can prepare you for that. I just remember us being, you know, grocery shopping, just doing normal stuff kind of the day before. And, you know, Junior and other family members were sort of trying to take our minds off it. And, you know, we're just still having our laughs, you know, just going through the daily motions. And at the back of my mind, I was frightened for my life, just because, one, I wasn't prepared for giving birth in general. So in these circumstances, I knew it was going to be incredibly difficult for the both of us.
Sorry, I'm struggling to keep it together. I just had my baby. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know how.
Take your time. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
You sure?
Because I know this must be hard. Have you told this story many times, or you just put it on your blog and that was...
I mean, I think the blog did help us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just... Someone gave us the space in our mind just to be able to just speak to the world, you know. And I guess once and for all, you know, we had people coming over to us, you know, trying to... speak to us, but it's quite difficult because you don't know how to respond in that moment.
Yeah.
And you have so many things you're thinking about. And I think, I'm not that much of a writer, but my wife, because I'm someone that I tend to keep stuff together to myself.
True man.
I mean, I don't think
that's the definition of a true man.
That's a true man.
I think it's good to let it out. Yeah.
As a man,
speaking of that, this is a normal reaction to people. What is it like being told, be a man, be a man?
Yeah, in this situation, what's it like?
How do you deal with that?
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know where that idea came from. of just thinking that men can't be vulnerable, can't be weak and stuff like that. I think it's more difficult when you are a married man, you have people you have to be strong for, and then it's just like you can't be crying, you can't grieve. How are you going to comfort your wife or anyone around you if you're grieving as well? And I think I sort of took that idea with me, and when I lost my mom when I was 16, and it was I felt it, but I remember on my wedding day when I was speaking about my mom, I couldn't hold it. I was crying for 5-10 minutes.
Because you've bottled it up for so many years, isn't it?
This? You know, I was trying my best to stop,
but
the more I tried to stop, the harder I became. And I think it was just the same with my daughter, and I think that really triggered everything back.
Yeah, of course, I could imagine, because you've bottled it up for so many years, and
as men,
that's what we do. We're told not to say anything, disguise it and stuff. Yeah. And I understand fully about, behind the scenes, comforting your wife, being strong, but sometimes when you share it, it's easy, because sometimes your wife is looking and saying, "Oh, you're not feeling it."
Yeah.
Did it cause any problems between the two of you?
It was just what you said. I think it did.
Because in terms of that, me always saying, "How are you feeling? Tell me, because I wasn't seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I myself am quite an emotional person and I'm open with my feelings. And so it's like, you know, you kind of want someone, especially because we're going through it together. I kind of wanted him to reciprocate what I was feeling, but he was processing it differently.
I think for me, I needed a lot of time to literally think about everything that just happened.
Mm.
And I think, again, it was just very difficult to be vulnerable. Like, you know, I know this is my wife, and you know, share everything with your wife, but it's just...
Of course, it's really hard. Trying to process it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Is there anything you can say to couples, like if they're going through this? Because it's something that happens a lot in our community, especially in the Black communities. Like, so is there something you could say to couples that, you know, going through something like that? This.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I think that got me through or us through was definitely like our faith in God and. Mm. You know, the thing I would say to couples is just cry out to him.
Mm-hmm.
He hears you in that brokenness and he understands that pain. And I think there were days when I literally couldn't speak, like I couldn't utter what I wanted to say, but I would just sit there and cry to him, just cry. And I knew like my tears meant something.
My
tears were words to him. So, you know, it was really my faith that held me fast through that. And, you know, the Lord has been faithful. So, I mean, I would just say to other couples to hold fast
to
Christ.
And communicate and cry together. That's important. Cry together.
Were there any particular words that you held on to? Any, you know, particular scriptures or anything in particular that you held on to in this time?
I think it was Proverbs... was it 3:5-6, you know, that was talking about, you know, trusting in the Lord with all that might and, you know, lean on him, and you know, understanding. I think we've always held on to that verse and I think it brought life and strength to us, because knowing that he's sovereign over everything that's happening in our life, knowing that he's in control, you know, what happened to Noah and to us was not by chance, was no mistake. That was his purpose, and I think it's just holding on to that truth, and that scripture did really helped us.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in amongst all of that, were you able to like be intimate? Did you want to touch each other? Was that a problem, or was it like, I mean, we didn't sleep on separate sides of the bed?
No, we didn't have any issues. I think obviously she had to heal up. I remember I had to abstain for at least, I think, 2 weeks.
Two to three weeks.
But I think we just like had a big desire to have a child
after
again.
After that,
you kind of want to fill that void and that, you know, what's missing. And so I think I know other couples will go through that differently.
Yeah.
But I think for us, we definitely then really wanted a child, and we were trying, and you know, we had times when we thought we were pregnant again, but we weren't.
Okay.
So that was quite hard as well, because I didn't realize that you still have those hormones in your body for a while after.
Of like having a child.
So pregnancy tests can be inaccurate.
I took a test and thought I was pregnant again. And then after I started bleeding, and then I thought, gosh, what's happening? Went to the hospital, and then, you know, the doctor's just like, well, you're not pregnant, you're having your period. And I was just, it was really hard for me.
Could imagine.
For us.
We thought that was, again, another scar.
Wow. I mean, gosh, sorry. I'm so emotional. I'm really sorry. I don't know. I mean, it's just so much to take in, and you know, to think that you guys are here able to talk about it, like you know, Theo was saying, and sharing your journey. How has that been, being able to, you know, share that with others, and have people come back to you and said, you know, what they felt as a result of hearing your story?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just think, like, as my husband said, I think God has definitely been sovereign, and, you know, Noah's life has been, for me, a testimony of how precious life is. And so I've seen that in sharing our story and sharing her story, that loads of people have been consoled in terms of their pain, and know that it's not, death doesn't have the final word. Christ had the final word. So despite, you know, despite our grief, God is glorified even in that. So yeah, by God's grace, I've had so many people, you know, unfortunately get in touch with me when they're going through the same thing, but I've just been so blessed to hear that my words have had an impact on them. And you know, even hearing what it's like from a male perspective, which is you don't hear it at all.
And and it's interesting because you mentioned something in your blog when you say God doesn't owe us, and I find that really interesting, because, you know, how do you unpack that? Because even me, that was even shocking to me. It's true that God doesn't owe us, but I feel like, you know, the word says, you know, one of our first instructions is go out and be fruitful. And it's like, hey, God, we're trying to do what you said. We're being fruitful. So shouldn't we have the fruit of what we're doing? Do you know what I mean? So do you think that all are entitled to have a baby if they want one? Or how do you, when you say God doesn't owe us, how do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I believe, you know, that God gives us everything we need, and what I mean by that is that even my child living only 5 months is enough, and has had an impact. So I mean, I definitely believe that God, you know, God knits the babies in our wombs and he has a plan for them, and for my child, that was his plan. That 5 months, that was her life, and that's the best life he's given to her. And, you know, through her legacy, through this story, many people will hopefully come to the knowledge of him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That, honestly, that speaks to me so much. So much.
So Junior, you worked early years as an early years assistant. What was that like going back into that environment?
It was a mistake. It was, I remember, I went back to work, I think it happened on Sunday, and then I went back to work on Wednesday.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I remember.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was a terrible mistake that I made from my side, and I guess there was the pressure of having, of me being needed at work. I hadn't really thought through everything. It was just.
Were they aware of what happened?
Yeah.
And they still said they needed you at work.
Yeah, they were aware, and it was a terrible mistake. And you know, some of the parents that, you know, I work with, because I work with children and family as well, and they knew about, you know, my daughter, you know, that I was expecting in the and I told them about what happened, and you know, some of them just broke down crying, and for me it was so difficult. I couldn't work, you know, just there. I couldn't really interact with the children, which is the most important thing I need to do for my job, you know. You're there, you're like, it's just, you just begin to envy, you know, someone that was like, you know, I'm working with newborns as well, and just like, and I was just, I just said to myself, no, I can't be doing this to myself. I can't be doing this to my family. I was telling myself that I need to be home, you know, right now. I need to be with my wife. I need to make sure we're okay. I need to look after myself, because at the end of the day, if I'm not in the right place, you know, in terms of my, you know, my mind and even spiritually, I can't do anything else. And I had to, spoke to my GP, and I had to take time off.
Took time off.
It was very difficult. Even going back, it's not that you ever have enough time to go through that. And I think maybe just having that space to actually breathe and just to reflect, and I think that's where I had the time to properly reflect, you know,
and go through the process.
Exactly.
So what was the church like? What was your church, very supportive? Family and friends, were they very supportive? Or was it a very typical African, get up and keep going?
No. it's crazy, like, I don't know the very topic of, but it's crazy how some Christians might say they don't need a church, and it's just like, I don't see how you can say that. Like, having, you know, going through this experience, I don't think you can do it on your own.
Mm.
Definitely not.
Even as a Christian, and I believe, you know, we all need to trust in the Lord, but at the same time, God has given us different means whereby, yep, he also supports us. And I think our church was one of the biggest impact in our life, in terms, yeah, of like holding our hands, praying together with us, and
cooking us food.
Yeah,
yeah, because, oh, yeah, I could imagine all that functioning, yeah, just the little things,
yeah,
isn't it?
Just coming to help, yeah, coming to be with us at,
yeah,
home.
Yeah, mm, messaging us, calling us, yeah, just always checking on us, and I
giving
think
us
that's
books to read, yeah, yeah, everything.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
and I think that's lovely, because sometimes, you know, when a death happens, mm, some people just don't know how to react, and they, mm, feel like, oh, give them space, or give, mm, them this,
don't get
give
me wrong,
them that.
There are people like that,
and,
you know, yeah,
I feel like that's the last thing you need. You actually, mm, need to be smothered in love,
yeah,
sometimes, and,
yeah,
you know, and if there's, you know, it's just that, yeah, thank goodness for the work, for the church family,
mm,
and it's so good that you have that experience. You know, I know perhaps there may be other people listening who perhaps their church family didn't come out for,
yeah,
them and show up for them when they went through in bereavement or something,
mm,
but to hear that your church family did, you know, because you're right, even as Christians we can't do it alone.
No,
like our,
no,
Christian walk isn't meant to be walked alone, no,
no
matter, no matter what,
yeah.
So just out of interest, what do you think that certain people, or what do you think people shouldn't say to somebody once they've gone through, like, I you know, I've suffered bereavement, I know what not to say in bereavement in general, but specifically in, when there's the loss of a child, what do you think people shouldn't say?
I mean, I had, from well-meaning people, I've had you know, sometimes people saying, oh, don't worry, you can have another child, you know, you're young, you're fertile, and it's like it's like, thanks, but that's not the point.
It doesn't take away the pain of what's happening
of,
right now,
of losing a child at all. So I mean, that is just a definite no-no.
That's a definite no-no. We should put these as bullet points.
Yeah, bullet points.
What, number one, don't say you're young and fertile, you have another,
yes,
child, because, like, really.
Yeah, never say that.
Yeah, I can't really think of any, to be honest. I think
did you hear anything, anybody say anything like, oh, you know, but it was a miscarriage, your child wasn't born yet? Did anybody say anything like that?
Or was it God's timing and all that stuff?
I think it was just the fact that people thought of, you know, when people think about miscarriage, it's almost like this child was non-existent. So it's almost the child didn't live enough, so there's no legacy for this child.
But a child
is a child.
Yeah.
If a child is, as soon as a child is conceived, that's a living being. That's that's someone that, you know, that's changed. It's changed. It's changed my life. I know it's definitely changed my wife's life. And and I think, yeah, it's not great for people to assume that that's over, just move on
like,
you know, like move on, like, you know, as if that didn't happen.
And to be honest, and that's a thing, maybe not, I guess, words to not say, but even to act like, you know, I was in the being in situations afterwards where you're thinking, am I still a mother, and or am I still a father? And it's like how people relate to you, you know, when they say certain things. That was quite difficult as well. I mean, I would just advise other people, maybe if they do see other couples going through this, and the couples have been open about it, just be there, and, you know, you don't necessarily
have to say anything.
Just
your presence, and
just
being
there.
Be present at the time, and not trying out.
And I think it's okay to say, you know, how do I comfort you in this time?
What do you need? Yeah, that's a good one. So remember that, people, what do you need? This is the Naked Love Podcast, if you're just tuning in.
Yes.
Me, Theo Manderson, and Miss Kaffi,
aka a cup of Kaffi.
Yes.
My last thing I just want to ask is that, you know, we thank God that you now have a son.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you feel when you found out you were pregnant with your son, for both of you?
How many, like, months or weeks in between before you conceived again?
I know.
Yeah, of course. You're not gonna know. That's mommy's business.
Actually,
Well, in between
from Noah passing until you were told that you're pregnant and you had the first scan and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was about 3 months.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah,
so you guys are busy.
Yeah, it was 3 months. You guys
are busy, man.
Yeah, so it wasn't the longest amount of time, I'm sure, that people have had to wait. Actually. Yeah, we were very shocked, but immensely grateful. Oh. Yes. Obviously, it was a hard second pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Your fear is through the roof.
Did you
go to every appointment?
As much as possible.
Yeah, I think because
we were being actually a bit mourning for this pregnancy.
So many times.
At least
three times a
Two weeks actually. Having to go through a scan and. The only thing in my mind is that please let me just hear the heartbeat first. That's the only thing I think about. Not even, I don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
But let me just hear the heartbeat. And I think even moving forward, I think that will still stay. That scarred me.
I mean, and this is the funny thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were so scared. But that pregnancy was probably perfect, like by the book. Everything went beautiful. No morning sickness, no
praise
nothing.
God.
Hey.
Like it was such a beautiful pregnancy, good. And I honestly thought that,
it was like a redemptive pregnancy.
Yeah. Thank God. The Lord was so merciful, and you know, when we found out we were having a boy, we were like, oh my goodness, this is crazy.
Well, what's your son's name?
Jonas.
Oh, yes. Wow. And how old is Jonas?
He's 20 months now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So year and a half.
Yeah. I was about to say that. Like, I was even looking at my head like, oh, no, that's needed two.
And he's the most beautiful boy you've
fantastic.
Ever met.
God.
So. And you went full term and everything. Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, to the point where I was like, okay, hurry up, just come out.
I want to celebrate you now. Like, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
And
man.
The way the church celebrated with us when our baby was born, like, you could literally feel the love, like coming out through phone calls, through texts, through cards, flowers. It was, you know, family. Through food.
Yeah,
such a
food is a love language as well. I know we've done an episode on love languages. I think food is the forgotten love language.
That is my
especially for Kathy. So
such a jubilant time.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's beautiful to hear.
Well, thank God, and it's so lovely to talk to you both, to hear from you both, and I would just like to, I don't know if Fia has anything you'd like to say. I just wanted to say, how has it in overall changed you as a couple, changed you as people? That would be my question. And I know you said earlier, sorry, I think I'm asking so many, I'm just so intrigued, and honestly I'm in such awe of your bravery, both of you, and such awe of your strength. Like, God bless you both. Honestly, it's even just thinking about it is bringing me to tears, because obviously just having my baby, you know, and I had a near-death experience as well, you know, and I just thank God. It just makes you so grateful, you know, and just to thank God, and everything you said has just spoken to me so immensely. And I mean, I'm just in awe of you both. just in awe, honestly.
You guys, and to see you sitting here smiling after going through that experience, that's a testimony to God and to your faith as well.
Yes.
And you stayed strong, because, you know, couples separate over this and fall out and never the same. Even though they have a child afterwards, it's never the same, because they're so busy focused on the one that's passed away.
It's all God, honestly. Like, we can say we're superhumans. Like, we'll be lying to say we did X, Y, Z. It was just...
It's God's grace.
Yeah.
And there were hard times. Those really dark days and, you know, sadness, anger, everything. Yes. Jealousy, you feel it.
Yeah.
And it's real. But you just know that, you know, God will make a way, and you'll come through it. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. For anybody who wants to reach out to you guys, or anybody who wants to contact you guys, what's the best way that they can do so?
So on Instagram, I go by my maiden name, so it's at Zainab Jallo, which is JALLOH.
Wonderful.
You can reach me at Junior Pollen. on Instagram, and you'll find me.
Okay.
And of course the blog.
Oh, and yes, of course my blog is after Lifeless Birth as well, and you know, I've got some resources on there as well for people who are going through miscarriage. Oh. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Thank you guys
God
for sharing.
Bless you both. Thank you so much. Yeah. God bless you. Thank you for coming on the Naked Love podcast. We appreciate you.
It's dilemma time. So every week we like to answer some of your relationship dilemmas. Just call us Auntie Kathy and Uncle Theo. If you need help with anything related to relationships, send your dilemmas to the Naked Love Podcast at premier.org.uk. Naked Love Podcast, all one word, at premier.org.uk. That's our brand new email address.
Yes. So this is the first.
Okay. Oh, you've got one already?
One
okay.
Of the new season. Okay. It says, Dear Uncle Theo and Auntie Kathy, I hate being single at Christmas. Mm-mm. There is still a little bit of time to meet someone to at least get a cheeky kiss under the mistletoe in time. Can you give me any tips on what I can do to meet someone? I'm female, I'm 29, but I'm quite shy. Thank you.
Okay.
I know you're going to have some real top. Go on.
I want to hear what you're saying, because this is around your age group.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
So you know,
girlfriend, I would say is get out. At the moment, everybody is singing this song. Somebody song, go find me one day. Listen, nobody's son is going to find you if you're in your house. Nobody's son's going to find you if you're in your house. You need to get out. Just be out. Just do things that even that you wouldn't normally do. I mean, you know, it's very interesting. Obviously, I met my husband on a TV show. That's something true. That I wouldn't normally do.
It's true. It's
you know, true. You just have to put yourself out there and be seen. Do you know what I mean? Put your best foot forward. And you know what? A lot of the things that I would say is how you perceive yourself is how
That's
others
what
will
I was
perceive
gonna say,
you.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't think, oh, nobody wants me. I'm 29. I'm still not in a relationship. Do not think like that, girl. Yeah. The best fruits are highest up on the tree. I remember when somebody told me that the best fruits, yes, the best fruits are higher up on the tree. So do not think, oh, I'm getting on in my years or I'm this and think that's a reason. No, you are a prized possession. Don't let anybody ever change that perception of you. And when, honestly, I think it's so attractive, even as a female, even looking for friends, it's so attractive when you see somebody who's confident in themselves.
Yep.
It's not about whether you are attractive on the world's level or what. Made you. You were made in his image.
Yep,
so by default, you are beautiful. By default, you are attractive. By default,
speak it.
You have
Preach
everything.
It,
you are worthy. Do you know what I mean? So don't ever think differently. Like I just say, you know, be confident. Put yourself out there, be available to meet somebody. Like you can't find something if it's just like, you know, the Bible says a city on a hill cannot be hidden.
You are
a city on a hill. You cannot be hidden.
Right.
Let yourself be available to be found.
And not in
your bedroom or not in your house or get out and be available to be found.
And let me add to that. As you said about the how you're thinking, how you perceive. If you are thinking negative about yourself, it's going to come out, manifest itself in how you walk and mannerism. And also, if you want to meet somebody pretty much like-minded, you go to the places where you like. So if you like art galleries and stuff like that, you go to these places and you meet people like-minded, not going to the nightclub. If you're not a nightclub person, don't look for somebody in a nightclub because that's not your scene. So go to your scene where you like, go to those places because you will find your partner in those places. And so you have something in common, something to talk about. You go to a nightclub, you're not that type of person, or you go somewhere, I don't know, wine bars, wherever young people go nowadays. Mm-hmm. Go to somewhere you like. If it's like walking in the park, trust me, there'll be a man that likes walking in the park.
True, very, very true.
So
love
go
that.
To these places and you know, love yourself.
Exactly.
Love yourself.
Self-love
is where it starts from. God loves you, so love yourself. If God loves you, then you don't need anybody else's love.
Exactly.
So it's all good, man.
Love it,
so
love
hopefully
it,
that's
love
helped
it.
You.
Yes.
So don't forget to
Thank
send the dilemmas
you.
To
yes.
us. Where did I send it, Kev?
To nakedlovepodcast at premier.org.uk.
That's a nice email address.
And if you love gospel music, why not tune in to Premier Gospel Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. to hear this podcast broken up with some great gospel tunes. Don't forget to tell a friend.
Yep. And what is it? Don't, now I got to do you, what you
don't
got to say.
Forget,
to
yes.
rave, was it?
To rate.
Review, to rate, review and subscribe.
To the podcast.
To
yes,
the podcast.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
getting used to that kind
yeah.
of stuff. I don't know.
We
That's
are
your
back,
kind of thing.
Guys. This has been episode 1 of season 2, and we're your hosts, Kaffee, aka a cup of Kaffee.
No, it's a cup of mummy.
No, a cup of Kaffee. I'm still me.
You're no longer you. Guys.
lots of love.
God bless you guys. Bye. Thank you. Ciao. We out.
The Naked Love Podcast with Theo Manderson
and Kaffee, aka a cup of Kaffee.